Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I was watching an interview with a director, Alexander Payne, and he says that most American films climax with an act of violence. And he says what he likes about Nebraska and the screenplay, which was the first film he directed which he didn't write, which is also quite interesting. What he says about Nebraska is that it climaxes with an act of kindness.
Lovely.
Yeah, that is, yeah. But no, I genuinely think there's something really like special.
No,
in
you're,
that.
You're bang right.
It's 59. This is Flix Watcher Podcast.
Hello, film fans. Thanks for listening. Today we are going to be talking about the 2013 Alexander Payne film Nebraska, and our guests are Will.
Hello.
Chris.
Hello.
And always Kobe.
Hi. As always, guys, we have all the show notes online at flixwatcher.tv for all the episodes, so please come and visit us there. Of course, join us on Twitter at flixwatcherpod, and please come to iTunes, rate us, and subscribe.
All films featured in the podcast were available to stream on Netflix UK at the time of recording, and please be aware there will be spoilers and some language that may offend. Hello, and welcome to Flix Watcher Podcast. Today I am joined by Will and Chris. If you would like to introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit of where we might be able to hear your voices elsewhere.
I'm Will Rowe. I work at Lord's Cricket Ground. That's my primary job. I'm the video and audio producer there. I also do a podcast for Lord's, interview various great former cricketers of the game. I also do a bit of work at TalkSport. I read the news for them when they'll have me. And I also, I'm going on a bit here. And I also do some PA announcing at Lords. I do the whole, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Lords. If you're making your way into the ground, there's some refreshments in the corner. And the game's about to start. And this is the incoming batsman. So yeah, any cricket fans might have heard, and if you've been to a T20 match at Lord's in the last 2 years, you'll have heard me.
Yeah.
Whether you want to or not. So yeah, that's me. Chris, fire away before I ramble on.
I'm Will's mate. I'm Chris Smith, PR professional, freelance drummer.
Ooh.
Ooh. And one-time unsuccessful stand-up comedian of open mic standard and nothing above.
So where did you do your open mic?
All around London. So
yes. Oh, so you said one. When you said one time, was that
one show?
Oh, sorry. No, as in at one time in my life, I did it. So anyone who was in the Cavendish Arms of a Wednesday night between 2011 and 2013 might have seen me die on my ass for 5 minutes every Wednesday.
Did you do jokes or observational stuff or?
You're looking at sort of anecdotes with amusing touch points and the odd punchline.
You're underselling yourself. You won awards. And when I say awards, I mean you beat other people in the stand-up. Not physically. Like.
I once won an open mic comedy competition at the Cavendish Arms in Stockwell, which is little or no achievement. But
yeah, but no one was there. As in, sorry. No,
sorry. There was at least four people in the audience.
No, but none of your mates were there.
No.
You never used to invite any of your friends along because you were too insecure about it, even though you're standing on a stage telling jokes.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't invite you.
Shit.
Far too harsh critic. I did win one award, but that was absolutely no consequence. But it was great fun, which is the main point. And it was just something I thought of to introduce myself as to make myself sound more interesting than just a bloke who works in PR. There you go.
I think you've succeeded.
Yeah. Nail on head.
Will, you chose Nebraska.
Did.
Why and what happens?
What happens? How much am I allowed to give away?
I guess we will give away spoilers, but don't give away the spoilers so much in the synopsis. We can give away in the oncoming chat.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Nebraska, 2013 film, as Helen so wonderfully said at the beginning of the top of the podcast. I'm very nervous about doing a synopsis on a film because I've never done one, and I don't know why. But
I think surely anything you talk about in cricket is far more complicated than
basically. Yeah, it's a good point. That's a very good point, Kobe. I'll just crack on.
From the pavilion end, Will Fort.
Yeah, Nebraska is a film that came out in 2013. I went to the cinema to see it. I absolutely loved it. It's got Bruce Dern is sort of the main character in it. He plays this old guy who's a bit dazed and confused, might have Alzheimer's, might not. You don't really know in the film. Basically, he thinks he's won $1 million. He gets one of these like really crappy old sort of like marketing letters. Like, yeah. Sir, you won $1 million. Ring this number and sign up. But it's obviously just a marketing spiel to get his details and sell him some advertising or something. Anyway, he lives in Montana, and basically he decides that he doesn't trust the US mail. So he is going to walk because he can't drive because he's a recovering alcoholic. So he's not allowed behind the wheel. So he decides that he's going to walk to Nebraska to claim his money. And it's a bit of a road film, really. And his son decides, okay, Dad, you clearly can't do this. So he agrees to drive him, and on his way there, he ends up in his old hometown, a place called Hawthorne, Nebraska, which is not a real place. And that is basically the premise of the film.
Cool.
So other than really enjoying it at the cinema, was there any other reason why you brought this choice to us today?
It's in black and white.
That's a good reason.
Not like
one of these bloody modern colour films. Rubbish.
No, I think that's quite interesting. I think when I saw it at the cinema, before I saw it, I saw a trailer for it and I thought that looks beautifully. That looks beautiful. Like, you know, there's some epic shots in it. The soundtrack is wonderful. It's strings. It's by a guy, I've written it down somewhere on my notes. I've lost it, but Tim Orton, he does the soundtrack for it. I think that's his name. Anyway, it's a really nice soundtrack, and basically, it's just a film about life, which I quite like. I like the fact that it's about this old bloke, and there's kind of the father-son relationship in it. That's all very good. It's extremely funny. There's lots of great one-liners. Mm. Just even in one of the opening scenes, you know, Bruce Dern, who plays Woody. It's Woody Grant and his son, it's David. And he's kind of, he gets arrested, or not arrested, sorry, he gets pulled over for the second time. And his son's saying, Dad, what are you doing? You haven't won $1 million. And he's like, you know, it's like, well, you know, drive me to Nebraska. And he's like, no, I can't do that. He's like, I've got stuff going on. And he sort of turns to him and says, well, what the hell you got going on? You know, and it's like, well, it's just, there's just funny moments in it. Yeah. And I'm sure we'll come on to it, but his wife, Woody's wife, his sort of long-suffering wife, she's hilarious in it. Mm. She's sort of straight-talking, shoots from the hip, no bullshit kind of lady. She's completely unfiltered. So I'm sort of a bit of a rambling answer, but I like it because it's about people, and it's also not violent. Mm. And I'll come on to that in a bit when we talk about the director.
Well, what are your thoughts on Chris? Have you seen it before, first of all?
I hadn't seen it before, okay. No.
What?
I had heard of it before, and it was one of the films that I thought I would really like to go and see that, but I never got around to it. But it appealed to me, and I enjoyed it for all the same reasons that Will enjoyed it, really, because it feels, apart from the black and white thing, I take or leave that. the soundtrack was lovely. The kind of the road trip style feel of it, the kind of long sort of rolling shots of the car driving along the sort of country roads, for want of a better phrase, in America. And the characters in it were all very believable. Mm. Like Will Forte seemed like a very nice,
a regular guy.
Bloke. Yeah. And having seen him on Saturday Night Live sketches for Donkey's Years playing really weird people and finding him a little bit annoying on that at times, to see him playing someone so convincingly as quite a straight role was really good. And obviously Woody is an interesting character, and his wife is really funny as well. It just feels very believable. And it's also got a lot of heart to it, I think, as well. And they sort of explore the relationship between the son and the and the dad at greater depth as you go through it as well, which is very, very enjoyable all around.
Just quickly on the soundtrack, it was by Mark Orton and it's the Tin Hat Trio. Just to clarify that.
Thank you.
So I called it Tim Orton, which it sounds like Tim Hortons, which is like a coffee they have in Canada.
It is.
Yeah.
Sorry for any confusion there, I guess.
Yes.
There you go. Don't email him from Canada to complain.
What were your thoughts, Helen?
I love this film.
Have you seen it before?
Yeah, I saw it at the cinema. And it's one that is kind of like, I should watch that again. So thanks for picking this one. But yeah, everything you said, like, it is beautifully shot. The acting in it is great. There's nominations for both Bruce Dern and June Squibb for this. I mean, it's a brilliant cast. It's got that fantastic small town American mentality. I kind of like, not really anything happens in this film. It's one of those films that's not really about anything in particular.
Apart from the characters, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know from the start that he doesn't win this money. He's never going to win this money. Mm. It's not going to be a twist at the end that, surprise, he does actually win it. I think one thing that I really like...
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
$1 million. $1 million.
The one thing I watch it for the second time round is that I really like it that it's a film with really interesting characters for older actors. Mm. And that's there's that many films that actually write films that feature kind of characters that are over 50 or kind of in their 40s.
Do you think, what about the, I don't want to say contrived films, but like the Best Marigold Hotel?
Yeah, I mean, they're just a bit like, just a bit wet and a bit stereotype and a bit English tea,
right?
Those films. But this is really interesting. And, you know, none of the characters are saints in them. They've all got these kind of faults and they're just these brilliant little studies that you kind of spend an hour, nearly 2 hours with. It's 2 hours and it doesn't feel like it. And yeah, I just really like it. And we've sort of mentioned a little bit about June Squibb. She's got some of the best one-liners, particularly sweary one as well. And her tale when she goes back home about basically all the guys wanted to get in her pants.
I'm feeling her.
Yeah.
Telling it. It's always so cringy that when a mum tells a son that people... feeling her up and trying to get in her pants and stuff like this.
But yeah, it's a very warm film in how it looks, feels, sounds, and the characters as well.
Yeah, I saw this at the cinema as well. I thought it was brilliant. I don't know what it is about road trip films that I really like.
Because he did, this is his kind of second road trip
Sideways
one.
Sideways being the first
one.
Yeah.
And that came before it.
But there is something about that independent road trip film where you just get to dive into the characters a bit more, and I think it's good that I guess Sideways was literally, it's pretty much a two-hander Sideways with a bit of interaction with other people. Here you think it's going to be just him and his son, but June Squibb has a big part. You spend time with his family who are all hilarious. Those brothers, I guess they're cousins,
chubby
ones. Well, so yeah, it'd be his nephews, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So Woody, the main sort of the protagonist. Yeah,
those guys are great fun. I've forgotten about them, and it's also that thing of where you go back to where you come from, and everyone's asking how you're doing, and then suddenly they're like, "Oh, you've won $1 million! Oh, $1 million! Good.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, remember when you I gave you that chewing gum.
Yeah.
The interest in that's now $10,000. Can I have that back?
Yeah.
Those kind of interactions with those people who just suddenly feel that they've not seen him and it's great, and then suddenly they think, oh, he's into something, so suddenly they owe him. That kind of interaction there is so well played out. I think it's really, I don't know how you even come up with this kind of idea for a film, but love it.
Yeah, I think the narrative's great. I think because when he goes to his old hometown, you know, people effectively try to take advantage of him. And he originally arrives with his son David, but then June Squibb, the wife, she comes, and then the other brother, who's played by Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically people are trying to take advantage of him because they say, oh, well, you owed us this then, you owed us that. And there's a chap called Ed Pegram who's like his old business partner. Mm. And basically there's this ongoing joke that Ed Pegram basically took his compressor and he wants to get his compressor back. And but there's this wonderful, there's a couple of really nice moments because June Squibb, you know, the wife is basically saying, you know, he's good for nothing, isn't he? He's like, oh, he's...
He should go into a home.
Yeah, yeah. He should go into a home. You know, I didn't realize he wanted to be a millionaire. You know, why didn't he work for it in his life and all this? And then the brother, the Bob Odenkirk character, sort of early on in the film says, you know, well, you know, he didn't give a shit about us when we were growing up. He was just an alcoholic.
Yeah.
But then as the film goes on, you realize that actually, I think he basically gets shot down in the Korean War, and this leads to his alcoholism. And there's the Ed Pegram character sort of accuses him of infidelity in front of his son, David.
Yeah.
But then there's these wonderful moments where sort of, and then the family, they try and his sister and cousins or his sister and nephews try and, you know, say, we want some of this money. And basically the wife just absolutely, you know, at this point sticks up for him when it really matters.
Yeah.
And gives him an absolute bollocking and tells him in no uncertain terms to fuck off. Like, you know, and that's actually a really sort of touching moment. Sorry, Mum. but I can swear if I'm quoting stuff. Does that make sense?
Fine, yeah.
That's fine. Just in case my mum's listening to the podcast.
It was a quote, Mum.
Yeah. And then there's this moment sort of towards the end of the film where he actually, we don't know if it's a heart attack or he collapses basically and he's in hospital. And again, there's this lovely moment with June where she sort of, he says, oh God, you know, what am I going to do with you? But then she sort of just pushes his hair back off his face. Yeah. Mm. And that's actually a wonderful moment.
Yeah.
And then just sort of towards the end, can I start giving spoilers now, Kobe? Are we at that point yet?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I'm going for it, you know.
Is this about the aliens coming down?
Yeah, just at that end bit. But it's, okay, I won't give it away, but I was watching an interview with the director, Alexander Payne, and he says that most modern American or most American films climax with an act of violence. And he says what he likes about Nebraska and the screenplay, which was the first film he directed, which he didn't write, which is also quite interesting. Mm. What he says about Nebraska is that it climaxes with an act of kindness.
Lovely.
Yeah, that is. But no, I genuinely think there's something really like special.
No,
in
you're,
that.
You're bang right. Yeah.
And so, yeah, that. So actually for me, as a piece of art almost, you know, as a film is art. Do you know what I mean? It's uplifting, and why not?
Exactly. Especially in the bloody current climate.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Although it's 2013, but still. For me, he goes on, Woody, I was fascinated by the sort of journey that they take him on from sort of lovable old bloke to start with, who you were kind of laughing at, but laughing with, but then when he starts telling his son about how he didn't even want to have children, and then, you know, he starts to get quite unpleasant in the middle bits, and you think, oh, actually, he's just a bit of a horrible old bastard. But then towards the end, you start to get your sympathy back for him as well. And then when him and his son get a lot closer as well, when people in his hometown start trying to take advantage of him and Ed Pegram,
yeah.
Starts trying to exploit him and starts threatening them. You see them grow closer together, and it goes back to the kind of feeling that you had at the start of the film of kind of being on his side. And you know, I thought that was a really nice way to kind of track the character through the film.
Yes, it's lovely. And it's also, it is really funny. There's a bit quite early on where he loses his teeth.
Yeah.
And they have to go and find them by the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
And they sort of make a joke like, hey, I found them, and it's like, no, they're not mine. I'm like, well, whose teeth could they be? It's like, yeah, not mine. So there, it is genuinely really funny in quite a lot of places.
That scene where they're in the family home and the camera is seeming that, well, they're shooting from the TV and they're all watching the telly and they're all talking about a football game from years ago or something, and it's just proper sort of old boy, really slow back and forth about, oh, do you remember when Donald scored that? No, I won him, it won him. And it's like back and forth like that, really, really dull. And it took me ages to realize that the sun was right on the edge of the shot, just very slowly looking towards him in their most like withering sort of Tim from the Office type expression as they were going through this really, really boring retelling of a sports story from years ago. And that just really tickled me as well. It's one of the many funny moments in it.
I think it's interesting to talk about the scripts because I think he does, Alexander Payne writes scripts really well. He writes for people who, conversation I think is really good. So I would like to know how much he'd maybe tweaked with some of it or not, or if it was just as shot as written, pretty much.
From the research I did, my notes.
Here we go.
It was the first one that he didn't write. Yeah. So it was written, the screenplay was by Bob Nelson, who got he was nominated for an Academy Award. This got nominated for 6 different Oscars and won nothing.
Yeah. It was quite a tough year, I think, that one.
It was up against like Dallas Buyers Club and is it 12 Years a Slave?
I think that was later. But I think it lost out to... If you say it's Dallas Buyers, then they picked up a lot of the acting.
It was 2014 in terms of the Academy Awards.
I can't remember.
Anyway, yeah. Sorry, I've gone way off script. It was nominated for 6, but yeah, it was... Because Alexander Payne is from Nebraska, so Bob Nelson wrote the screenplay. He's from South Dakota, so it's in the same area. It's that kind of Midwest, West region. And I think it was basically... You know, Payne doesn't normally work that way. He normally writes his stuff himself. Mm. But I think it's like, well, you're the Nebraska guy. You know, this makes sense for you. So they gave him the script and he looked at it and he really liked it. So I don't think he really tweaked with it too much. And I know that Bruce Dern saw the script and just thought, this is brilliant. Mm. I want to play this.
So how much do you guys know of Alexander Payne before coming into this film?
Quite a bit, personally.
Let's go for the very little first.
Yeah. I mean, we've got his films up on the screen, so you might have come across a few of them.
So Citizen Ruth, not heard of, Election Scene, About Schmidt, Sideways, Descendants, Nebraska, and Downsizing.
Downsizing. Other
films he's directed and has been involved in.
And quite a few others, but these are his main ones.
Right. Yeah. So first one I saw was Election. I didn't recognize it as Alexander Payne, but the first film that people said this is an Alexander Payne film to me, I've not seen About Schmidt, was Sideways.
Have you not?
No. And I really enjoyed Descendants, although I thought it was quite an odd kind of story. But it's one of those films that kind of stuck with me a lot after I'd seen it. Downsizing is terrible film.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I tried really hard. I saw the trailer and I thought,
What a great idea.
What a brilliant idea, yeah. And then within about 10 minutes, I thought, oh, how terribly executed.
I don't even know this film. What's it about?
Downsizing.
Yeah, it's about someone moving house badly.
No. So you would think. That's where he plays with you with the title, Will.
Ah, right.
So it's a super short synopsis of another film.
Yeah.
To not digress.
Basically, people are in the future, they're going to be shrunk to miniature size so that they take up less space.
And save money on the environment is the main reason for doing it. But also it's the fact that if you've got £100,000 as a full-size person, when you scale down, that's actually worth quite a lot of money, so you can live quite like the life of Larry in the mansions and stuff. So that's why most people downsize, not for environmental reasons.
Yeah.
And it's
so the premise is, I think, genuinely interesting.
Mm.
Overall execution...
back to Nebraska.
Yeah.
Well, we did a digression.
I mean, Alexander Payne. Looking at his films, I'm quite a fan. I mean, I really like Election. Mm. I think Election's brilliant.
That's Matthew Broderick and Reese Witherspoon.
It is. Yeah. That's hilarious.
After this,
it's really good. Basically, that and Rushmore came out at the same time,
right?
And they're similar but different films. So I'd really recommend that. About Schmidt is Jack Nicholson. And June Squibb's in that as well.
Okay.
And that's kind of a grumpy old man road movie. I haven't seen that recently, but I remember watching it and enjoying it. Obviously, Sideways is fantastic.
Absolute classic.
Yeah. And then I didn't really like The Descendants. I was really disappointed at the fact that I was quite angry because I'd enjoyed all of his films immensely up until that point. And I don't know, I don't think George Clooney was the right fit. And I didn't think the location worked for his style of filmmaking.
Hawaii.
So much. Yeah, I think he's much better in small town America, or kind of the landscape didn't quite work in the way that it does in Sideways or in this. And having listened to Downsizing, I'm not going to bother with that one.
Until someone suggests it for FlixWatcher.
And then I'll have to.
Yeah. Who are your favorite ancillary characters outside of the family? We haven't talked about Bob Odenkirk, by the way, much.
Yeah, he was a...
He was in it.
Yeah, he was. He was in it.
He was the brother.
Yeah, he was. He was a strange one because, I don't know. Like he didn't have as big a role. He didn't have as big a role in his family as Will Forte. Mm. And I sort of, he was much more blunt with his dad, especially with his mum.
Was Bob the older brother?
Yes, and he's also a newsreader in it as well. So he's like the more successful of the brothers. Yeah. So Will Forte works in a kind of he's like in a sound shop. He sells speakers.
Well,
and
he
stuff.
Works in Comet, basically.
Is it? Yeah. All right, yeah, the American version.
Now defunct.
Yeah. So he.
I've got a question about him. Sorry, carry on. But okay. I'll just
park it.
Sorry. Yeah.
Well, my next point is not that great. So do you want to come to your question?
No,
first?
Finish your point.
Yeah. Okay. So my point was that he plays the kind of the lesser successful of the two brothers. So it's kind of, you know, he's like, okay, Dad, I'll drive you across to Nebraska. But just one thing about this, what is very interesting is the Alexander Payne in this film, there's lots of people that aren't actors. So a lot of the ancillary characters are real farmers from Nebraska.
That's interesting because we watched that and thought, all the extras look really weird. They're real people.
They're all proper Nebraskans or Nebraskites. Like, I don't know what that is.
The guy who sits on front lawns and washes cars.
Yeah, those kind of characters. And it's amazing because I think the way that they hired them is they put adverts out, but then none of these like farmer guys are answering. So I can't remember exactly, but they basically got the sons and daughters to get the mums and dads to write in, and then they go in an audition. Mm. So, you know... And as I mentioned earlier, Alexander Payne is from Nebraska. And one thing I feel about this film is that it is kind of made from the heart of someone that loves. There's a bleakness to the Midwest as well, which is why I think it works in black and white, because it's kind of beautiful. But the Midwest as a place is actually quite bleak.
Right.
And just digressing a little bit, but there was an old family friend of ours who's since passed on that I grew up, we knew him, and he was from a place called Thief River Falls in Minnesota. And I once asked him, I said to him, you know, basically about the Midwest, but it's about Minnesota, really. And I said, what was it like sort of growing up in Minnesota? And he just went, anybody that's any good leaves. And I thought this was wonderful. And
it's Elvis.
Yeah, it was Elvis. I just felt that there's Alexander Payne, you know, you can sort of get that feeling that he loves these characters and he loves this, you know, his home state. Sure. And that comes across. And I think that's great.
Sort of if you made a film about York.
Yeah, if I made a film about York. Just be lots of walls and narrow streets.
So two points I have just thought of. One, Bob Odenkirk's... news reading career comes to a head in a funny bit where there's a scrap outside a pub or something, and he says, "Mind my face."
Oh yeah,
because he's on TV, which reminded me of Alan Partridge. A scene in Alan Partridge where he says, "Not the face, I've got a photo shoot for Vision Express." just a side note. The other thing is, and I might have missed this because I watched it quite late in the night, but I might have missed this.
How dare you? How late?
Sorry. How does Will Forte's character get the time off?
He just says that he's ill. So basically,
it's a film smudge.
Yeah, the whole journey is only meant to take so long, but because they have to keep him in overnight, it kind of gets a bit extended.
Mm, right.
And he's kind of like, oh, yeah, I'll just take sick today and we'll go. Basically, I'll take the kind of the Friday off, we'll do it at the weekend, pick it up on Monday and we'll be back. No one will really notice. I mean, it's not really a major plot point, but...
No.
But it's interesting you mention this, right? Because there is a bloke called Jerry Garrett and he's got a WordPress site and he plots down the route and you can go on it. I'd recommend you do and have a little read about it. And he does the route from Billings, Montana to Nebraska, to Lincoln, Nebraska. But what I find really weird is he plots it out. And they go from Montana and then Wyoming, South Dakota, and then into Nebraska. And he points out on his WordPress site that this is not the most direct route. But the bit which I find fascinating, and I love the guy for doing this, is that Hawthorne, Nebraska is not a real place. And Hawthorne is Woody's old town. So Billings, Montana is real. So that's the start of the journey. And then they go to this non-real fictional town in Nebraska. And then they end up in Lincoln, Nebraska. So I'm like, how does he work out the route? But he bases it on the four small towns that Bob Nelson and Alexander Payne decided that they would base Hawthorne on. So there's four real small towns. And they're like, well, there's kind of an amalgamation of these. And this is where they film certain scenes from. So he's worked out this route.
The epicenter of those four towns.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's a running joke as well through the film is that everyone kind of asks, how long did it take to drive here as well?
Exactly.
So that's kind of the obsession with that, which is a nice recurring theme.
I did really enjoy the cousins. And they, obviously, it came to a head where they tried to steal the letter.
Million dollar letter. No gooders.
Such idiots. Let's go to the scores.
Time for some scores. Welcome to the FlixWatcher magical spreadsheet of dreams scoring system. All of them are out of five. You can have zero. If you wish, you can have a decimal place.
As many decimal places as you wish.
And the first up is the recommendability. How likely are you to recommend this? And we'll start with you, Will, because this is your choice.
Five.
No further comment required.
No, I love this film. It's fantastic. So I'd recommend it to anyone that I thought would enjoy watching it, yeah. Which is most people, I'd hope.
I'd go, to be obtuse, 4.8.
Don't feel obtuse is a wrong
so
way.
So what's it, why are you not going to give it a 5? What does it drop the points on?
Just because I think there would be, I loved it, don't get me wrong, and I love the kind of how like sort of relaxing and just nice it was, but I feel like perhaps there might be the odd person who might not get it and might find it a bit dull. I can if someone was to say that to me.
This is an independent film, so that's the thing. Exactly, that's the kind of thing you get from people who are less cine literate and will
and
happily
it's in black and white and there's no violence
and happily go to see the next Transformers film.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the only reason I take 2 decimal points off it. But I mean, that said,
don't need to feel ashamed. Helen,
5. I love this film. I really love it. And if it's like been on your list of films to see and you've not quite got there yet, then you should definitely watch it.
Especially because it's on Netflix.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 4.7.
Ooh.
And as Helen knows, my scoring system
has no logic.
Recommendability goes from zero to Back to the Future.
Yeah.
So it's not as recommendable as Back to the Future. And I think that's clear because literally everyone you can say what's Back to the Future and everyone will love it.
Yeah.
And what else happens in this? Yeah, black and white aspects, people wouldn't like it, and the slowness aspects. And also because I prefer Sideways to this from Alexander Payne films.
Right.
So I'd put that at a higher score over this. But
there is a color version of this film.
No.
You can watch it if you want.
It's like the desaturated version of Logan. Although that might be quite interesting to see, but I've done it once.
It's great.
Cool.
So repeat viewing score. Will.
Just me. I'll give it a 4, I think. Yeah. No, yeah. 4 it is.
Is this his second time, third time?
This is my second or third time I've seen it. So I've seen it in the cinema. Wonderful. And I've watched it 1.5 times since then. I mean, I wouldn't give it a 5 because I've got other things to do. So
stop lying.
I'm not just going to spend my life watching Nebraska, although that wouldn't be a bad thing to do. No. So yeah, that's why it's a 4 for me.
What are you up to the weekend, Will?
Watching Nebraska again.
Chris?
I would go, just because I've only seen it once, I would probably say 5, you know?
Ooh. Okay.
You'd watch it again then?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think it's a lovely, and the point at which I will watch it again is a Sunday afternoon, probably 4:30. Potential
nap.
Got
the time in there
somewhere.
As well.
Yeah, yeah. Very
with your fiance.
Set your alarm clock.
maybe with a glass of wine or. Yeah,
definitely
like
with a glass of wine.
Bowl of chips.
Bowl of chips.
Yeah, that's what they say in America.
Oh, is it?
We're talking about
sorry,
film,
crisps,
dude.
Right? Yeah, sorry.
So, what's your most frequently watched film?
Ooh. Good question. My most frequently watched film. I'm really on the spot. There's so much Jack Black in it, probably.
Don't make sense in this podcast, mate.
Yeah, it's a subtle callback.
It's a more than likely it's going to be like a film you watch when you're growing up because it's on TV all the time.
I'll tell you exactly what it is. Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, my word.
Because that is an absolute masterpiece. And I will hear nothing to the contrary.
When was the last time you watched it, though?
Probably about a year ago, actually.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, so.
if I was at home, my parents or something, and they'd say, right, we're going to watch a film, what do you want to watch? It'd be Mrs. Doubtfire. Simple as that.
Will?
Mine's a bit more niche, not as straight down the line as you. Mine is Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid.
Oh, of course it is.
Has anyone else in this room watched it?
No.
Okay. This is a brilliant film. It is Kris Kristofferson, who is probably the most talented man ever. And it's got Bob Dylan in it, who's rubbish as an actor, quite good as a songwriter. Yeah. But no, it's Kris Kristofferson and I forget the lead that's opposite him.
The kid.
Yeah, Kris Kristofferson is the kid. Then Pat Garrett is played by...
I literally no idea what
I need a bit more than that. You're looking at me as if I'm going to know.
You should know this. Anyway, can we quickly do that thing with the internet? Otherwise, I'll feel real bad.
No one knows this.
Do that thing with the internet.
Okay, whilst the internet's searching.
Whilst the internet's searching. So Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, it's a fantastic film.
I was going to go to talent school. I'm not interested in this film.
What's the internet search and carry on with your synopsis?
Just give a quick synopsis of it. You know, Pat Garrett, Billy the Kid is the outlaw. Pat Garrett used to be an outlaw as well.
Yep.
And he's brought in to become sheriff and he's got one job and it's to bring the kid in and it's a dance to the death because you know that there's only one possible outcome.
Is it on Netflix?
I don't know.
All right, shut up then.
James Coburn.
Who's it directed by?
It's Sam Peckinpah.
Sam Peckinpah, yeah.
I heard his name recently. I can't think of any film of his I've seen.
It's a lot of Westerns and stuff.
Did he do Straw Dogs?
Did he do Straw Dogs? I've not seen it though.
I think so. Yeah. It was later in his career.
I love a Western.
It's one of those things that I didn't realise Sidney Lumet had been directed so many films that I liked. So maybe Peckinpah,
The Wild Bunch, Straw Dogs. Lots of Westerns, I think.
Yeah. I think I'm not
The Getaway.
I'm not really a Western. Which Getaway?
The one with the good one, with Steve McQueen.
Okay.
Not the Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin one.
The Wild Bunch. Sorry.
Oh my God.
The Wild Bunch is also a fantastic film. And Pat Garrett and Billy Kidd, just going back to what we talked about earlier in the podcast, both climax with acts of violence.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
Which is what Alexander Payne didn't want to do with Nebraska. Yeah. Bringing it right back round. Kobe, take it away.
Well done, you.
Helen, repeat viewing.
What are we doing? Yeah, repeat viewing. I'm going to give it a 4. I definitely saw it at the cinema. Whether I've seen it since then, I'm not sure. I could have done. But I'd watch it again.
But how often?
Probably the next couple of years.
All right.
I didn't see it like next week. But I'd be quite happy. If anyone had not seen it and suggested it, I'd be quite happy to sit there.
I'm going to go 3.8. Lovely film. Again, probably watch sideways over this if you're looking on the if it was one of those random DVDs that you get DVD box sets, which are two films by the same person that aren't the same,
remember
like,
those.
Back to back. Mm. It's like they choose these two films. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Like Blade 2 and and Predators.
You know? Yeah.
Why is that a thing? I'll watch it again definitely, and I will watch it more than once. But not straight away, and we'll watch sideways more often than this ultimately. Small screen score. I suspect it's going to lose some points here.
Well, we shall see. Yes, but exactly. I think it kind of could go either way. But so really, this is... It's just, sometimes it's how you'd like to interpret it. So it's basically how well is it suited to the Netflix viewing kind of settings, but also whether it loses anything by being in the small screen as opposed to the cinema setting as well.
Yeah. Do you feel after watching it on the small screen that you feel that you missed out on not seeing it on a bigger screen in the cinema?
Put that into a number.
Okay. Oh, that's me. Yeah.
Me, mate. Yep.
Yeah. It's definitely brilliant on a big screen. Mm. And it's one of those where it's like, it's well worth seeing in the cinema because of these big, great sweeping shots of Nebraska. But interpreting what you said so concisely, I'm going to give it a 4 because I've watched it again recently, 1.5 times on a small screen and my laptop, and it still works. So, yeah, I'm a modern man. I can watch things on small screens.
Is that a definition of a modern man?
The guy that just said Pat Garrett, Billy the Kid, a Western from the 70s with Kris Kristofferson was his most watched film. 4 for me.
Chris?
I wish I had seen it in the cinema when I watched it at home. So I would say, I guess that means a lower score, right?
How big is your screen at home?
Not that big, not big enough.
Okay.
Just put it that way.
Not big enough for Nebraska.
Yeah.
What you want to do is go into Will Forte's store and say, right, I want a TV that's big enough for this film.
Exactly
we're in now.
Yeah, okay. If he's not off sick. I would go with a 3 then, I suppose, for that.
All right.
Because it's still, like, I still thoroughly enjoyed it watching on the TV. So.
Yeah.
Helen?
I'm also going to go for, I did really enjoy it in the cinema, and it is nice to have had that experience. But also, I really enjoyed it in the small screen. It's translated quite well. And because the story is a little bit slow and is a little bit dreamy, there's nothing major big that happens that needs that big screen attention. So if you haven't seen it at the cinema, then don't worry. You can still enjoy it, I think, for what it sets out to be. So a 4. And also, it's on Netflix, so you can watch it.
So this, the majority of the aciness of this film is the character study between the two main people and when June's script comes into it. So that doesn't need the big screen to make the most of it, but it was nice to see it in the cinema. So that translates to 3.6.
Nice.
And the last score is the engagement. So were you playing on your phone? Were you, I don't know.
Were you like just in the moment every single second of the film?
My phone was on airplane mode whilst I was watching this. Because I read an article about it recently and it's meant to be bad for your brain. So put your phone on airplane mode more often than not. But the engagement with this film, 5. It's a great film. That's, 5.
Chris?
Less impassioned from me. I would go 4. I'd watched it late at night, as I said. So I kind of was drifting in and out at certain points in the middle of it. That says more about me than the film, I'm sure. But I wasn't fully on it the whole time, but for most of it.
Helen?
4.5. Well, the first time round, I was completely absorbed in it. Obviously, having seen it before, you know, kind of the key areas. And, you know, it kind of, you can just sort of sit there and go with the flow a little bit because it is a little bit slow. You know, there's no explosions to jolt you back up. But yeah, I mean, I just really like it. So yeah, 4.5.
I'm going to give it 4.1. I think it's really cool. Really cool film. It's slow, but the dialogue isn't subtle.
I mean, it's an hour and 55 minutes. Yeah. And, you know, that's quite a long film, but it doesn't feel that long. So, and you know how I do.
Regular listeners of the show know that if Helen is not looking forward to a film, if it's anything over 88 minutes long, she will text me to tell me how long a film is. Right. As an indicator that you're not happy.
It's like a warning. So
Creed is 2 hours and 11 minutes long.
Okay. Hope you're well.
Yeah, it's true. So yeah, this is a dreamy hour and 55 minutes.
Yeah,
well, it's got a great script.
Yes,
it's
a great film.
Yeah, it's a good film. It's such a good film.
What did I say? 4.1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that brings it to a very respectable 4.28.
Yes.
That's very high score.
That's a great high score.
So shall we see what the world of Twitter has to say about Nebraska? So if you are following us on Twitter, please do join in the conversation. We'll put a little tweet out saying, we're reviewing whatever film, have you seen it? We'd love to hear from you. And there'll be a little GIF there as well. So Yeah. Will, would you like to read the second one out for
the
this
second
time?
One? All right. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Quite a lot of reading. This one. 280 characters have been used here. This is from Cinematic Respect. Thanks for tweeting in. 4 out of 5 stars. So what do we give it? 4.2?
Yeah.
So basically the same. Beautifully black and white cinematography and wonderful performances underpin this story about the unspoken past. That's a theme we didn't really pick up on. It's easy to appreciate June Squibb, but a career-defining effort by Bruce Dern and a remarkably staid Will Forte are a pleasure to watch as well. That's a pretty good review.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nail on the head.
That's steady. That's a Sight and Sound review, isn't it?
Yeah, that's decent.
That's not your Metro.
Yeah, that's pretty respectable stuff.
Do you want to take the next one? The first one?
Sure. So this is from What Were They Thinking, which is at WWTT Podcast, and they've given it 4 stars. Much more succinctly put, a lovely film highlighted by great performances from Dern, Squibb, and especially Forte. Interesting that they've majored on
especially
him.
Especially Forte, yeah. I think Dern and Squibb are super, super.
I would say they...
I think staid is a good word for...
Yes, an excellent word for him,
yeah.
That's why he writes for Sight and Sound.
I think Squibb almost, for me, in this film sort of steals the show a bit. Mm.
Gold definitely. For me, I think.
Yeah.
Gold for Squibb, silver for Dern, bronze for Forte.
And it's a close... It's still a record-breaking silver
place. Oh, yeah, it's a photo finish, yeah.
It's like that Jamaican relay side of a few years ago.
Go on.
I know.
We're all ears.
You got Usain Bolt,
right.
Johan Blake, and Asafa Powell, and the other guy, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, but they don't cross the line at the same time.
No, but I mean, come on. When they were up against the Americans and our team and a few others, whoever, you know, that was...
Canada, Japan.
Yeah, exactly. Do you not think that's not good?
I'm not sure what it's an analogy.
Yeah, I think you've got the wrong end of the stick.
On that bombshell.
No, I don't think I have. But maybe I have.
I guess what you mean is those guys in the same 100 meter final together.
If they
were racing against each other. Right, yeah.
I said the great relay side because obviously they came together at the end of the games and they'll win it all together because they all got gold there. But no, I appreciate that. And I hope that everyone listening at home or wherever you are, towards the end.
Northern line.
There we go.
Yeah.
End on a bang.
End on a bang. Yeah. Just June Squibb was Oscar nominated at the age of 84 for this.
Was she the oldest? Was that one of those things where she's the oldest Oscar nominee?
It was her first nomination.
That wasn't the question.
I know. But that's the only thing I researched. That's the bit that I researched because she was mainly a stage actress. So she'd never really
done
that much
film. There may have been an older nominee, but she's one of the oldest.
Yeah, I've heard that. That statistic came out recently, man. I can't remember.
Maybe it was someone like Christopher Lee or something was the oldest at like 107.
Christopher Plummer.
Or maybe.
Yeah.
Someone. We don't know.
We don't know.
Anyway.
There you go. So, she's probably in like the top three. Usain Bolt and Asafa Powell.
So before you go, if you'd like to hear more kind of obscure sports references, and where can we find you?
Well, if you want to hear more obscure sports references, TalkSport is where you can find me reading the news. But also do please listen to the Lords Cricket Podcast. Got some fantastic guests lined up for that. A new series coming out in August time. And I think there's going to be an 8-episode series, one-on-one interviews, great performances from Lords, but also exploring people's career in a bit more in depth.
So. I should say August 2018, just in case you're coming to this in the distant future.
Yeah. Indeed. And if you are coming to it in the distant future, even better, because then hopefully that series will already be there.
Yeah.
And you can just listen to all of them in one go.
There we go. And your Twitter handle is?
At WillRow2.
There we go.
I'm not going to give the Lords one because I need a bit more love.
Fair enough.
Cheers.
As someone who used to work with Will at Lord, I can vouch for the quality of the Lord's podcast as well.
Why not just as a listener?
Yeah, that's very true.
Because he's lying.
Okay, as someone who used to work with Lords and a friend of his, I'm obliged to vouch for the quality of the Lord's podcast.
Oh, there you go.
No, it's very good. If you want to read sort of opinions on how football's rubbish, then follow me at ChristySmith27. There's also bits and pieces about Goldsmiths University on there as well. Anyone who's keen on that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
About where I work.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. That's it for now, guys.
Yeah, thanks so much for bringing Nebraska to us and thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can find all of the episodes on our website, flixwatcher.tv. Want to give us your 5-star review? Follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter. Big shout out to our editor, Brendan Russell, for all his awesome editing skills. And thanks as always to the mighty people for their tunes.